Today I'm going to continue with a series that I started a couple of weeks ago on Love Live. I'll be talking about the words of your mouth today. And to kind of get us going today, you know, I cannot overemphasize how important your words are in your life. It would be impossible for me to overemphasize the effect they have on your life, your family, your business, your career, your income, your health. Think about what an amazing gift it is that God has given us the capacity to speak. Not only just to say words, which sadly, a lot of people think that's all their speech is just expressing words. But we're created in the image of God. We're born after His seed. In fact, it says that we're born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Can we agree that's 1 Peter? We can agree on that? Okay, now, if that's true, then we go back to Genesis chapter 1 where it says, every seed produces after its own, say it, kind. Thank you. Own kind. It's a law of God. Every seed produces after its own kind. You and I are born in the image of our Heavenly Father. Jesus and the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And we have this amazing capacity to speak God's truth, God's word, God's plan, God's will in our lives. And in our world today, you know, they minimize the importance of your words. They minimize the value of what you would speak. They would say that your words really don't matter. You're just talking. But your words are spirit and they are life. I've heard it say this, that we are speaking spirits. We're ambassadors for Christ. Think about that. We are ministers of righteousness. We are sons of the Most High. We are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can't imagine our Heavenly Father just speaking words to be saying something. Because whenever He utters something, it's eternal. So, aren't we grateful this morning, Tim, that when He got up, He didn't get careless with His words when He's talking about you and Fawn? Wow. Thank you, Jesus. He's controlling what He says. Isn't that wonderful? And too often, our words are controlled by how we feel at the moment. Or what we're thinking. Or what we're seeing at the moment. We tend to repeat what we're seeing and feeling when what we want to do is say what God has said so it can change what we're seeing and feeling. Thank you for your encouragement. Yes? Amen. So what a gift that has been given to us. I the more I think about it, the more I can understand David when he's out on the hillside watching over his sheep in Psalm chapter, is it 1? Where it says, what is man? Is it 1 or 8? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that you've placed all of creation in his care? Wow. Remember Jesus when he's ministering, he healed the sick and cast out devils with his word? He just spoke to it and had to obey. He spoke to the wind and it ceased. Spoke to the storm and it stopped. When they came to get him to crucify him, they said, we're here to get Jesus. And he said, I am he. And they all fell backwards. Amazing. They thought they could go get him. Think about it. They brought the legions with them. And they thought in numbers they could get him. And all he said was, I am he. And they fell backwards. Well, I've been teaching this series at Loving Life and Seeing Good Days. Can we agree that Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly? Amen. To the full, overflow? Well, then that is His will, then true? We have discussed the value of placing boundaries and restrictions in our lives, and we're going to talk a little more about that today, but specifically about the words that we speak, not just concerning our own lives, but the lives of the people around us. We need to be very, very careful about how we use our words concerning other people. Other people in, that maybe believe differently than you do, maybe a little different political persuasion than you, whatever. We have to be careful what we say. We need to be responsible for the power that we're releasing. God has made known his will to us, and he would have us to love life and see good days. All things are possible to those who believe. Correct? And the Bible says that faith works through love. And love says that you will not do harm to anyone. If you love them, you won't hurt them. True? You won't speak evil of them. You won't repeat something that would embarrass them or shame them or hurt them. You wouldn't spread something that, even if it's true, it's not something that edifies. So I'm going to start with Proverbs 29:18, and it's not on your list, Janelle, because I didn't give it to Pastor Terry. But in the New Living Translation, it says this: when people do not accept divine guidance. Remember, I've been talking about it's good that we would put restrictions and controls in our lives. I'm not talking about taking away from you. I'm not talking about lording over you. I'm not talking about making your life a life of submission or subserviency. I'm talking about protecting what comes in and leaves your life. It's good that we have boundaries and controls in our life. How we behave, what we think, what we say. Amen? When people do not accept divine guidance. So our Heavenly Father has much he would like to speak into our lives. He has much he'd like to bring into our lives. He has much he would like for us to enjoy. But we need to accept what he's saying. True? The battle has always been whether we're going to believe what he says or believe what we can see, feel, and think. In our lives, we're facing life. We're going down the road of life. It's just like walking through a big candy store. There's all kinds of stuff we could reach out and take, but we need to restrict ourselves to that which is right and profitable. We can reach out and take anything, but maybe shouldn't. Well, we can say anything because God has given me the right to speak, hasn't he? I could get up here and I could abuse you with my words, but probably shouldn't. Yes? I could point out maybe some of your faults or maybe some things that I know in confidence. I could spread them all over. Maybe I shouldn't, though, huh? Yes? So we're talking about restrictions, right? Now, doors and windows on our homes are not a bad thing, are they? Are they? How many went to sleep last night and you locked your front door? Now, why did you do that? Why didn't you just open it wide? Let whoever wants to come in, whoever wants to go out, let him go out. Like when I was in Illinois, one of the gentlemen I worked with, he lived in a part of town that was lawless. And he laid down at night, went to bed, woke up the next morning. Someone had been in his house, been in his bedroom, and stole something right out of the bedroom, and he never woke up. Ifta. Yeah, keep your doors locked. Amen. Well, that's kind of what I'm talking about in our lives. We need to guard what comes in and guards out. And now we're going to talk today about what guarding what comes out of our mouth. God teaches us a lot about the words of our mouths. So it says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. They have no boundaries. They just do whatever feels, say whatever, think whatever. But there are some good things and some evil things that we do not be a part of. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. So we find there in that scripture that we have a choice. Either I'm going to accept what God has said, or I'm going to disregard it. If I obey his word, then my life is filled with joy. Now, is there anything wrong with that? How many of you do not want a joy-filled life? Okay, we're all in agreement then. You want a joy? Then let's put ourselves in a position to where we're doing what the word says. So with that, go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 10. Let's take a little inventory here. Who in here would, by raising of your hand, would say, I want to live a good life and see good days? Is that, would that be a goal? Would that be something you're shooting for? You know, everybody needs to have direction in their life. And I want to tell you this morning, it's okay to want to love life. Hello. The life that God has given you, it's okay to love it. It's also good that you want to see, perceive, be manifest in your life, good days. That's okay. It's not godly to live beneath that. Hello. It's godly to believe what God has said. So he says here, he who would love life, he who would love life, that means to have a mind or a purpose or an intent. It's my purpose that I'm going to love life. Now, where we miss it sometimes, we start choosing for ourselves, disregarding what God has said, what life is. There are people this morning that feel really bad physically because they did some things last night they thought was fun and brought joy into life. This morning, they feel terrible. Amen? In their effort to enjoy life, they chose the wrong thing, didn't they? Come on, loosen up. All right. So he says, if you want to love life and see good days, the first thing he tells us is, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. And that's what we're going to look at today. I'm going to continue to rehearse with you how important your words are and how powerful they are and how that you can use your words to bring direction and increase in your life. You can use your words to close the door on the devil, open the door for the angels of God, and give God permission to move in your life. You say, well, I don't know about it. Well, now let's think about this. The day you got born again, who decided you was going to get born again? Who's the one that opened the door that day? Well, isn't that amazing? God provided eternal life for every one of us. And every person on the face of the earth has been provided by God the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. But yet the choice is mine in my life. It was choice in Josiah's life, in Tim's life. We choose. I made the decision. I accepted his divine will and purpose that day. Changed my life forever. It was a good thing. Prior to that, I was living a life that, as far as I knew, was good. I was, you know, as far as I knew, it was a good life. I had a great wife, great daughters, had a functioning, profitable business. It was good. Life was good. I didn't know there was a better life. I didn't know until truth came to me. Well, it's kind of the same way we're talking about the words of our mouth. We live a life, we speak whatever we feel, whatever we think, and however we're doing, and we think, well, that's okay, they're just words. They're not just words. They're not. Just like a dollar bill is not just a dollar bill. It's a servant. Hallelujah. Amen. When you're, I was thinking this earlier, when you're teaching your children, and this would be good for all of you, when you're teaching your children, you tell them truth, right? You're teaching them either a principle or a truth or a concept or a value, right? You tell them. Have you ever noticed that the first time you tell them, they don't get it? Or maybe you noticed that in your own life. So not only do you have to share with them, you have to demonstrate it before them so that they can see it. And then you have to take them by the hand and walk them through life, showing them and teaching them what you're wanting them to learn. Now, if I just tell them and then send them, they're not going to get it. If I tell them and show them and then leave, they're not going to get it. I have to tell them, show them, and work with them while they're learning it. Well, it's the same way as a pastor. And that's why I have to continually teach you truths from the Word of God that some of you might think, well, I've heard this, and I've heard this. Yeah, but are you doing it? Do you understand the value of your words? So he says, if you would love life, I want to love life, and see good days. Okay, that's my intent. That's my purpose. So then I'm going to do something with the words of my mouth, because let him refrain. That means to put a stop to or pause or make an end to. I'm going to do something with my words that are evil. I'm going to stop them. And his lips from speaking deceit. That word speaking there is used of children with the meaning of to talk much. The Bible says even a fool is considered wise when he doesn't speak. It says in the multitude of words there is no want or lack for sin. Amen? Deceit is fraud, guile, or deceit, the action or practice of deceiving someone by concealing or misrepresenting the truth. So there's two things we're going to do. We're going to watch over our mouth, and we're going to stop the evil words, and we're going to stop misrepresenting the truth. Hello? God has told us a lot of truths about our redemption in Christ Jesus. And if we're not careful, we'll be saying things that are contrary to what he did for us. Well, I cannot be forgiven. You're lying. I guess he didn't heal me. You're lying. I guess I can't prosper. You're lying. Not because you're trying to lie, just that the words are not true. Now, if it's just a matter of words that were not true, it maybe wouldn't be a big deal. But those words have power. Those words have influence. The words determine who and what is going to operate in your life, because God gave you dominion over your life. Ooh, that's scary. No one can make me believe what I don't want to believe. You can beat me up, you can kill this physical body, but I choose what I believe, and I can choose what I say, right? So there's two things in there he's talking about. He says, now, you need to put a stop to saying words that are evil. You say, well, what are evil words? Anything that's outside of the counsel of God's word. What's deceitful? When you misrepresent the truth. Yeah, it could be lying. You know, the Bible says in the body of Christ that we're supposed to speak the truth in what? Speak the truth in what? Always, you know, I teach this in Guatemala. I teach effective communications. And I talked to husbands. I said, how many of you husbands are liars? Nobody raises their hands. I said, well, let me talk to you for a moment. Your wife goes out and buys a brand new dress. She puts it on, comes out and prays it in front of you and asks you, how does it look? In your mind, you're thinking, that's the worst thing I've ever seen. But with your mouth, you say, oh, honey, that's beautiful. Liar. Huh? You're supposed to speak the truth in love. And there's nothing wrong with speaking the truth. We need to learn how to package it. Hello? Come on. The truth is always the best. We need to learn how to say it. So it brings blessing. Well, let's go to Proverbs 13:3, and we'll begin here. If you want to love life and see good days, you're going to do something with what's coming out of your mouth. You can't just say whatever comes to your mind or whatever you're seeing or whatever you're feeling. You got to use your words on purpose. This is something that would be new for some of us. You can speak on purpose what you want to say. You can plan what you're going to say. You don't have to just say whatever comes to your little mind. Thank you. In fact, I would say this. Whatever you're saying, you've already considered. You've programmed it into your life. You can reprogram what you're going to say, and you do that by changing what you think, but that's another message. So he says, "Who?" Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his mouth, who puts a watch on his mouth, okay? That's this little thing right here, in case you don't know what I'm talking about. He who guards his mouth, you're going to do something about it. Now, I can promise you, Jesus is not going to guard your mouth. Hello? Gabriel's not going to guard your mouth. The Holy Ghost is not going to guard your mouth. That mouth belongs to you. You're the one that determines what comes out of it. Now we're talking about, we've got a goal and intent. We want to see good days. We love life and see good days. He who guards his mouth preserves, he who guards his mouth preserves, he who guards his life, mouth, preserves his what? is life. Now, wait a minute. We all know that whatever God wants, that's what's going to happen, right? No, it's not. It's God's will that everybody should be saved. Is everybody saved? No. It's God's will that you should all be healed. Are all healed? It's God's will that all should walk in love. Are they? Okay. So, he who guards his mouth. So, if I'm going to preserve my life, that word preserve means to watch, to guard, to care for. If I'm going to care for my life, I'm going to start taking authority over what comes out of my mouth. I'm going to take ownership for what comes out of my mouth. I can't blame someone else for what comes out of my mouth, Kathy. You can't say to Joe, well, you made me say it. No, he did not. Well, you made me angry. What? He did not. Just because he's acting like he doesn't have any sense doesn't mean you have to get angry. He who guards his mouth cares for his life. Now, in case you're not getting the connection, Jesus is telling us that your mouth has amazing influence on whether you love life or see good days. Michael, you can't just let it run. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Now that word where it says he who guards, the word refers to people maintaining things entrusted to them. Your mouth has been entrusted to you. The words that you have been entrusted to you. The power that's in you has been entrusted to you. That's what it's talking about. I'm going to guard there. And it says this, especially to keeping the truth of God in both actions and mind. So we have been given the responsibility to maintain the truth of God's word in our minds and in our actions, in our words. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips, that phrase open wide there means to open one's mouth without control. So he just lets his mouth flap. Well, you know, I'm just having a terrible day. That's the way it is every day. I'm never happy. Life sucks. I don't know why I'm even here. I don't know why I even go to work. I work with a bunch of idiots. Wow. 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 When you think about the power that God gave you, you'll say, oops. I need to put a halter on this thing because it's not helping me. I can use my mouth to preserve, guard, to care for my life, or I can let it open wide without any restraints, and it will destroy my life. Well, Pastor, I don't believe that. Well, I didn't write the book. God did. Let's go to Proverbs 8:13. Let's look at another one. Now, Proverbs 8:13, if you read that, you'll find out that wisdom is speaking here. The wisdom of God is speaking to us, is talking to us. Sometimes as people, our flesh really loves it when we say stuff that's cutting or gossip or fearful. You know, we just want to say something kind of nasty. But that's not from heaven. That's what he's trying to tell us. God's wisdom says, no, that's not from heaven. Verse 13 of Proverbs 8 says, the fear of the Lord, having reverence for the Father, having a, how many of you had a father that you reverenced? I did. I'm telling you, I did. I understood that if I was going to cross the line, it'd been better if I hadn't been born. Literally. So it built within me a reverence for what he said. Because it was easier for me to do what he said than it was to cross the line. Well, what the Father's asked us to do, is to love him enough that we do what he says, because what he's saying to us is for our benefit, and it would lead us to blessing and life more abundantly, because that's what he wants for us. Thank you. So we're talking about the fear of the Lord. We're not talking about being afraid of him. We're talking about we love him enough that we put him in the rightful position in our life, and we understand that if he says anything at all to us, it's because he loves us and is for us and is for our benefit. And so what the Father would say, if he could get down there and look you in the face, he'd say, Michael, stop arguing with me. I said this because it's true. I said this because it'll help you. It's a blessing. Stop fighting me. I'm trying to help you. He says, the fear of the Lord is to what? Hate. It's okay to hate something. Hate evil. Now remember, wisdom is speaking here. Okay? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And he says this, pride, arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Wisdom of God hates a disobedient mouth. The wisdom of God would say, use your words to help you in life. Use your words to release God's power and God's blessing and God's purpose into your life. Use your word to bring blessing to other people and not condemn them. Don't say what you feel. Say what the word says. Don't repeat what you're seeing, because you don't want what you're seeing. You want what you do not yet see. Are you getting it? Charles Capp used to teach that you have two dogs. One of them named Shep, the other named Rex. Shep is standing at your feet. Rex is not there. You want Rex to come, but you keep calling Shep. And you wonder why Rex doesn't come, because you've got to call Rex. Well, what he's trying to share with us is, sickness and disease may come to your house, but quit calling it. Start calling health, healing, wholeness. Understand what I'm saying? Strife may come to your house, but don't keep calling it, inviting it in. So the perverse mouth is disobedient to God's truth and God's way. And it says, I hate that. The wisdom of God hates that. Why does the wisdom of God hate that? Because it's hurting you. It's hurting your life. It's hurting your children. It's hurting your business. It's hurting your health. It's hurting your finance. It's hurting the people around you. Go with me to another one. Proverbs 12:18. You know, I particularly recognize, it's an easy thing for me to talk about this way, because in the political arena, it's easy for us to get real sharp with our words. Well, that particular bunch, they're a bunch of idiots. Well, they may be demonstrating that, and that may be obvious to the world, but we really don't want that, do we? We want to change, don't we? Yeah. Well, those children of mine act like they don't have a lick of sense. Okay, that might be a reality, but you want it to change, don't you? I never plant a seed and it comes up. Well, that maybe has happened to you, but you don't want it to continue, do you? Okay. It says here, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, or there is one who speaks and it cuts. It damages. It brings pain. It brings sorrow. It brings hurt. It brings guilt. It brings condemnation. It brings unforgiveness. Are you getting it? There is he that speaks like the piercings of the sword. In other words, the words that you're saying are cutting. They're not cutting out stuff. They're injuring. They're hurting. They're inflicting wounds. There is that. Words can do that. Words have power. And God intended for them to have power. They have authority. You have authority on earth. You exercise your authority with the words of your mouth. Every one of you have done that in your life. You tell your children, don't do that. If somebody's working for you, you relay to them what you want with the words of your mouth. Isn't that correct? You're bringing forth your authority and your directive to their lives. You're communicating with them. True? But our words, now listen to this. Your words can cut. They can hurt. They can injure. They can maim. They can wound. They can kill. But the tongue of the wise, the tongue of the wise brings health. The one who speaks, that phrase means to speak rashly or thoughtlessly, to babble. In other words, you're just talking. Like the piercings of a sword, that means to cut, inflicts damage and hurt. Harmful and merciless words inflict damage. Speaking to people, and you're not bringing faith to them, you're not bringing courage, you're not bringing hope, you might say, well, you know, you're never going to amount to nothing. You know, you've always been that way. Why even try to be different? Everybody knows you're a loser. Just stay that way. Admit it. Give up. Wow. Wow. But the tongue of the wise, one who is skilled or experienced, brings health. That's health, healing, a remedy. Now, do we believe that this is the Word of God? It says the wise person, when he guards his mouth, when he puts a watch over what he's saying, it promotes health. And that word literally means healing, a remedy. It can heal relationships. It can heal a nation. It can heal a company. It can heal your body. It can heal your mind. It can heal your children. Hello? Now, I didn't write the book now. And so we're faced with a decision this morning. All of us are. Am I going to accept God's divine guidance, or I'm going to let my life run wild? People who accept God's divine guidance live a joy-filled life. Go to Proverbs 15:4. Proverbs 15:4. It says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. All right, now you have to think a little bit when you read these phrases. A wholesome tongue, a curative, literally a medicine or a cure. That's the literal translation, a wholesome. A medicine or a cure. A curative, okay? He who has a tongue that brings healing and health. Got that? That is a tree of life. When you find an apple tree, what are you hoping to find there? Would that be the fruit? Does it bring joy to your life? Our words, a wholesome tongue, is a tree of life. It's producing life, not only for us, but for those around us that can come and eat off of that tree, Tim. A mouth that brings healing, a mouth that promotes curing, a mouth that promotes unity and harmony, forgiveness and mercy, goodness and grace, is a tree of life. It produces life. People can eat off of it. You can enjoy it. Your family can enjoy it. I shared with you earlier that when we teach our children, we teach them, first of all, with the words of our mouths. We say, this is the way to do this. Either you don't want to do that, you want to do this. Then we have to show them. And once we do that, then we have to walk them through it. We continue to speak to them. We continue to show them until they are able to take it as their own. Isn't that right? Okay. So a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. But perverseness in it, distortion or viciousness, that's the literal translation, breaks the spirit. That means destruction, ruin, fracture. The noun can be used to indicate the primary reason for suffering due to disobedience to God. The noun can be used to explain why it is you might be suffering from disobedience to God. It says, perverseness in your tongue brings destruction or ruin into your life. Perverseness is disobedience to, apart from, you've stepped away from the truth. Are you guys getting this? Go to Proverbs 18:21. We all want to live believing that someone else is responsible. In our world today, that's the biggest thing that we're facing with people is, you're responsible for what I just did. I stuck my hand in a mower, it cut my hand off, I'm going to sue the manufacturer. You're responsible that I stuck my hand in the mower and it cut my hand off. You should have made it so I could get my hand in there. Here in Sioux Falls, the city is facing a deal where a family let their child play down here at the falls, and the child drowned a year or so ago. Now they're suing the city because they're responsible that their child got in that water and drowned. Duh-huh! I want somebody else to be responsible for my life. I do not want to have to accept that. Well, we got to. He said, you keep your mouth. You put a guard on it. You use it for life. And he says here, death and life, say death and life, which would you choose? Are you sure? Are we in agreement? Then you've got to be responsible for that. Death and life are in the power or the ability or the capacity or the strength of the what? Of the who? Of the what? Did you notice it doesn't say that death and life are in the power of God? Woo! Did you notice that? Death and life are... So maybe, Josiah, it really does matter what I say. Maybe my words really do have impact. Maybe my words really are making a difference in my life. You say, well, you know, I don't mean that. You know, my words don't mean nothing. Then why are you saying them? Because when God says something, it's eternal. And you're created in His image. Why are you saying that stuff? Well, you know, them people, they're this and they're that and da-da-da. Yeah. Wait a minute. Do we want it to continue that way? Are we trying to divide? Are we trying to heal? I'm not denying what is. I'm denying its right to remain. Death and life are in the power of my tongue. So that means I've got to rise up and make the decision. I am going to take responsibility for the words that are in my mouth. Now my mind, my purpose, and my intent is that I will love life and see good days. And if I open my mouth wide without restraints, it brings destruction. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put some guard. I'm going to change what I'm saying. How do you know that you cannot force yourself not to speak? I'm going to explain that in just a moment, because what's in you is what's going to come out. If you don't believe me, hit yourself with a hammer. Find out what's in you. So death and life, okay, so if I'm nearly as smart as I think I am, then I'm going to make a decision right now that if death and life are in the power of my tongue, I'm going to start managing my tongue to bring that I can have life, love life, and see good days. In my family, in my career, my business, relationships, wherever I am. Whenever I teach on home and family, I just teach on home and family in Peru last year, and I was sharing with them that daily, every day, multiple times, I tell my wife how much I love her, how precious she is, how wonderful she is, how gifted she is, how talented she is. You say, oh, you're just feeding an attitude. No, I'm building a life. Hello? I'm building a life because death and life are in the power of my tongue. I will live and not die and declare the glory of God. I am blessed in everything I do. Everything I set my hands to, I am blessed. I am rich. God is, this is the blessing of God that's made me rich. I choose. I am rich. No man has given up houses, brothers, mothers, fathers, sisters, and lands for his sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive now in this time 100-fold. Houses, brothers, mothers, sisters, and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. I'm choosing the houses and the lands and the blessings. I'm choosing the health. By Jesus' stripes I was healed. Jesus himself bore my sickness and carried my pain. Or, I'm just always sick. Oh, every year, the same time. It just comes back, same thing, every year. Well, praise the Lord. Your faith is working. Glory to God. Let's change it. Amen? So death and life are in the power of the tongue. And it says this, and those who love it, what is the it there? The power of the tongue. The it is the power of the tongue. And those who love it, the power of the tongue, shall eat the what? Now, it talks about your tongue somehow is producing fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it, the power of the tongue, will eat the fruit. So how you're using your tongue is sowing seeds that's going to bear fruit in your life. I choose to love the power in my tongue. That means I have respect and honor for the power that's in my tongue, and I'm going to use it on purpose. On purpose. Not reactionary. On purpose. I've got a direction. I have an intent. I have a hope. I have a dream. I'm going for it. Think about Martin Luther King. That speech of his, I have a dream. If you take what he spoke that day and begin to speak it in your life, it would be amazing. Releasing that power to heal and to bring people together in your home, in your family, in your business. How many times do we say things that brings division? How many times do we say things that bring hurt? How many times do we say things that bring destruction and death into our lives? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I could go on there, but I'm going to change just for a moment. In Luke, it talks about a good man brings forth good things out of the good treasure or deposit of his heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2-3 in there, it says that in the New Living Translation, let God change your behavior by changing the way you think. What I allow to run around on the inside of my head, what I concentrate on, what I think on, is what I'm feeding down on the inside of me. It might be anger, it might be bitterness, it might be jealousy, it might be unforgiveness, it might be sickness and disease, it could be poverty or lack. Whatever it is, you are allowing to fill your head. You're feeding that down on the inside of you. When Jesus taught on the sower sows the word, he told us why it is the word of God works and why it doesn't work. Didn't he? He said, when you sow the word of God into the soil of the kingdom, you'll get a kingdom harvest. Now, that's a loose translation, but that's what he's saying. The spirit man, your spirit man, is the soil of the kingdom. The word of God is the seed of the kingdom. And if I sow the seed of the kingdom into the soil of the kingdom, I'm going to get a kingdom harvest. Now, whatever I think on consistently, that's what I get down on the inside of me. So what's going to come out? What I have been meditating on. You've been meditating negatively, angrily, victim-wise. You know, I'm a victim. I don't have a chance. You think on that, what's going to come out? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Your mouth speaks out of the abundance of your heart. That's why I'm trying to tell you, your words can be on purpose. So I would suggest that this morning you make a decision. I'm going to chart a course in my life, and I'm going to use my words to get me there. I'm not just going through life aimlessly. I don't have a marriage that's just aimlessly hoping it'll work. I'm using my words to build it. I'm not just going to try to raise my children, hope it works out. I'm using my words on purpose. I'm not going to run this business just hoping it makes money. I'm going to use my words to build it. How many business owners have you heard say, you know, you can't find any help out there. Nobody wants to work. I hear it all the time. Now, that's the truth. But what are we going to do about it? I'm saying it. God is sending me laborers that want to work. Everybody that works here want to work. They want to come to work. They're faithful. They're committed. Thank you, God, for the laborers I have. And you say, well, it doesn't look like it. Well, that's why we're saying it. We're trying to change it. Death and life are in the power of the whose tongue? And they that love what? The power of the tongue shall eat the fruit thereof. He who would see good day or love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Misrepresenting the truth.